listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Good evening and good morning, wherever you are on this spinning blue-green globe. Yes, it's the same voice you heard on Studio A just 5 seconds ago. Anyway, it's JP here again. Now, I had Mr. Rowe just wake up from a nap. Well, let's just talk about this, because this is something that was spoken to me about years and years ago. Is that there will be a time when we disconnect from time. And that I was some sort of pioneer of it. But that we disconnect from time itself. Right, okay, so he's not here. So I was due to have James Swagger on the show. And as I was saying... as Mr. Rogers demonstrated, it's now, 5 o'clock, and he woke up at 4:30 in the afternoon. He must have been very tired, and everybody's really tired, and everybody's sort of falling asleep and having these naps, and in a way, we're kind of disconnecting from time, and, starting to eat when you're hungry, sleep when you're tired. Work when you're strong, rest when you're weak, just follow what your body is doing. And you'll find that you'll get back to the natural cycle that is what your body elemental knows. Your body elemental is your being, your human, its highest level of consciousness is the solar plexus. The spirit has lowest level of consciousness is the solar plexus. And so if your solar plexus is clear, then everything flows, because the main thing that's in the way of most people's spiritual development is the solar plexus and the contents of that, which flood and cloud all of these things. Some people seem to have a really good, gut feeling about things. They get it and then act on it, and it's perfect, And they jump from, branch to branch, and it's just always perfect. Those people have their solar plexus clear. Well, plenty of other chakras clear as well, but in general, the solar plexus is the one where it matters. It's the pivot point, because it's the place where the personality can either be over-controlling, under-controlling, or just right. When it's just right, when you've got it in balance, that's really quite impressive. And it's because, your ego matches your achievement, so if you know what you're doing, like a surgeon has to have the confidence in himself, otherwise he's just gonna slip with that knife, so... It takes confidence to be steady, and it takes competence to be competent. It takes confidence. Did I do that? No, it takes competence to be confident. There we go. Got it right. So this is where your solar plexus is. You feel good in your belly, and everything is straight and square, You'll find that in the recent times, people have had some, stomach issues. Sometimes maybe as bad as an ulcer. Sometimes just like a gastric flu. Lots of people have been taken up by a kind of gastric flu, and it's rolling around on their stomach. Yes, but will radio stations run off on a whenever time clock? Yeah, well, mine does anyway. It's just like... here's the time. Switch me on and switch me off at this time. Anyway, going back to, so it's all about getting back to your gut reaction and being able to trust your gut feeling. And it does have, it has a simple voice. It's kind of like about the level of a 4-year-old. And you know, a lot of these affirmations that you get, they don't really work because it's, you actually got to convince the body elemental that it's a, that it, you know, it, you have to speak to it in its own language. Otherwise it won't understand. You can't be too over intellectual about what you want because it's happy to go and do it, but it's, you got to understand it. And if you imagine you're trying to explain like, something very adult and complex to a 4-year-old child, it won't get it. And it doesn't need to. You know, just go and get that thing, will you? It's like, go and get me a glass of water. That will do. All right. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Oh. And that's, you know, it's very simple. Simple-minded. But it's that's the simple-mindedness of, you know, the being that is working in a mob. So you have to understand that. And it's kind of slightly reptilian as well. But it's got its consciousness and, you know, you have to learn really to befriend it. You can't dominate it. It's like a horse. Yeah, exactly like, the relationship you develop between your rider and a horse. The better the relationship, you know, the more you listen to it, the more you say, and this is, comes back to, you know, the whole time thing. The more you listen to the impulses that you get from this being, you will, more and more be able to feel and hear the conversation that is going on between you and the being. So, you know, it's like between you and you. These are like your higher self and your lower self and your middle self. You know, you've got a middle self, your personality that is like, if it's not too bad, it's like, it's an adjudicator. You know, it's like a moderator of a well-run chat room. You know, make sure that nothing untoward goes on, that is still fun enough and the negative commands. So here's the thing, you know, all these affirmations and command like things that you do, I command the universe and all that is basically telling instructing the universe through the body elemental. And so the body elemental really has to understand it. I don't know if it speaks Latin. Maybe they do. Who's to say? So anyway, one of the things, Wolf Baby told me, she was talking about the same thing, and like, talk to the bird, what does my body elemental want? So I asked, I started asking, you know, what do you want? Yeah, elemental, what do you want? And I keep getting same result, same thing. Fish. It wants fish. For some reason, it likes fish. So I've been eating quite a lot of fish recently. Until yesterday when I've eaten fish and I've now eaten enough fish. Let's put it that way. Plenty of fish. Yes, indeed. That's right. So yeah. So, it might be wise to listen to your elemental. If you've got a moment, you know, if you're sitting, you know, just ask your body elemental, say body elemental, hello, and see if it says hello. Ask it what it wants. What would you like today? You know, I want to go to the park. You might get an impulse. You might get a picture. They often talk in pictures. Like, you know, when you talk to animals, they talk in pictures. They talk in feelings. So by getting in touch with your feelings, you get in touch with your body elemental. And by getting in touch with your body elemental, you get in touch with the natural cycles and the truth of everything. Because your body, you know, it's like a child. It has no, you know, judgment. That's the thing about it. It's not judgmental. So, it has the godlike ability to allow things to happen. You know, that an adult, an intellect, will prevent from happening. Oh, basically, the intellect is just basically as a, it's a thing that throws logs into your stream of consciousness to stop things flowing and to redirect the flow. And you know, it's funny every time. Hang on, let me just try this. Yeah, I don't know if you can hear that. It probably doesn't come out on the other end of the Skype. I think the Wolf Spirit people can hear it. Is that when I breathe in, there's a slight echo of a breath, and it's like somebody on the other end of the phone kind of breathing heavily. It's very strange, but it's actually me. Oh yeah. Featherwild says, I did a Facebook page for a little horse. He was the writer. I did it for him. He communicated through me. Cupcake the Herdmaster. Yes, indeed. You can also, check out Jack the Watcher, who's a beautiful black stallion. He's another, horse that talks through his friend, let's say, you know, rather than owner, his friend, what's her name? Oh God, it's gone out of my mind. Gene Rockefeller. So that's, yes, rock speak. Yeah. So really talking to things that aren't, you know, got faces and stuff is not really that difficult. And the more you do it, the more you get used to that weird feeling. And it really is a strange feeling at first of, you know, I'm just making this up. Yeah. You're just making it up. But what the material you're making up from is pretty much the fabric of space-time, the Akashics, and it's amazing how many fictional stories have been created, isn't it? Somehow map reality. Somehow, you know, how did they know that? How does this happen? So, well, it doesn't look like my he's probably gone to sleep. hang on. Sleep. Sorry. This is the show time. Ah, well. There we go. Well, I'll invite some call-ins then. If anybody wants to talk about this stuff. But anyway, meanwhile, back at the body elemental is quite interesting. So, it's interesting. It would be interesting to, ask every morning, you know, in your morning sittings, whatever you do, you know, just sit and take a breath and listen very quietly, because it's only got a very small voice, like a little child. You know, imagine you've got a 4-year-old child there, and, ask him or her what they want. What do you want today? And see if you hear anything. And don't worry about it. You know, don't think, oh, what a silly idea. Just go with it. You know, I want ice cream. Like Wally was saying, you know, when he wants happiness, he listens to some TV that was back in his early childhood, you know, or when in his young years, when he was happy, you know. Get yourself to that vibration. All right, no, but without emotions? No. I wouldn't say it's emotionless. Plenty of emotions, but they move through very quickly. To be clear, you know, like if you need to be angry with someone, you can be angry with someone in an instant, and then you can cool down in an instant. Because they're not, it's like they're moving through a fast moving sort of fluid, rather than the slow moving jelly. You know, that's what a clogged solar plexus is like. It's kind of like gelatinous. Or even frozen, solidified, you know, like a wax. And indeed, that's what builds up around your belly, isn't it? You know, what we call obesity, fatness. So, yeah, you find a way of bringing yourself back so that your body elemental is happy. And then you'll be happy, and then you'll never be sick, because from what I can understand, most sickness is that elemental trying to talk to you. And it's trying to say, oh, remember that time when somebody, such and such and so and so, and, hang on, who was that? Oh, all I remember was his vibration. It was like, oh, wow, oh, kind of Capricorn-y, yeah. And then your knee starts to hurt because your body recognizes that Capricorn-y vibrations are like, is like the knee vibration, you know. And maybe you'll build up a weakness, and maybe you'll trip over and twist your knee. And you'll be sitting there with this knee throbbing away, throbbing away, throbbing away. And it's because your body elemental is trying to make you listen to it. You know how kids sometimes, you know, if they're not heard, they can really make themselves felt. So that's what can happen when the body elemental is not listened to. And we have what's called illness and disease. And to be honest, I really think it's that simple, that all illness is a conversation. And that, well, it's either conversation or it's an infestation. But it's, you know, even if it's an infestation, it's still a conversation, because that weakness, where the infestation is occurring is relevant through the language of the body. So, yeah. And indeed, yeast.
The nung.
Yeah. Well, I talk about it all the time. Hang on. Let's have some coffee. I like a nice cup of coffee every so often. Maybe if nobody calls in, I'll talk about how I make a nice cup of coffee and I make a nice cup of tea. You know, just in case anybody ever says, you make a terrible cup of tea, or you make a terrible cup of coffee, why can't you make a good cup of coffee? Right. I'll talk about that later if nobody calls in. Yeah. And yeah, all this stuff is good or bad depending on how you, well, if you are what you think, you're built of stuff. You know, you've got atoms and molecules that come from the food that you eat. If you've got lots of yeast in you and you eat lots of sugar, then it will hijack the sugar and you won't get it to run your cells and brain and things, and you'll just grow in the nung. So that's the, it takes kind of, you know, it takes its cut first, let's say. It's like the mafia. It'll take its cut first, and then your body gets some sugar. So you have to take loads in order to just get the effect of it, by which time you've overloaded your insulin. Anyhow, so, so being nice, being good to your body elemental will, you know, give you benefits almost immediately. You'll feel more balanced. You'll feel like, well, this is integration, really. It's being able to communicate, as you would with an intelligent dog or a horse or a child like that, you know, as a companion. You know, they're part of your life. They're not you. You are the soul, you know, listening to this show through the apparatus of your body, through the medium of your personality, ego, and your physical elemental form. So the elemental form has the ears, the ego gets to operate the brain, and the soul gets to plug into the brain and listen to the signals.
chocolate-covered peanuts. Mmm. I love chocolate-covered peanuts.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if I wanted to make myself happy, yeah, definitely I would. I tell you, when I was a kid, my grandfather had a, and my grandmother, they had a tobacconist shop that sold chocolates and sweets and American comics. So I used to read Superman and Batman every 2 weeks. It was wonderful. It was heaven. It was a form of heaven. I suppose that's why I always thought, oh, I had a nice childhood, you know, because I got to read lots of comics. Anyway. But I used to remember eating the peanuts in a really strange sequential way. I used to eat, they were like, what do they call them? Oh, M&Ms, peanut M&Ms, you call them in America. So, and nowadays we do there. They used to be peanut treats in the, oh well, I'm talking about chocolate. Here comes Mona. What is it, Mona? I mentioned chocolate and you're here at my doorstep. Hello, darling, how are you?
Oh, it's actually rather interesting. We have a guy who likes to mow in the dark.
Hopefully he's not using a, he's not doing it in his sandals.
It's a riding mower, so
oh, that's
whichever.
All right, so it's not like pushing blades. Has he got headlights on it?
Fetish. Yeah, actually.
How cool. Maybe he's put a new headlight in it. And he wants to check it out, so he's mowing at night.
Yeah,
maybe.
There you go. I don't doubt it. I have to give him that grace. I really do.
Guys are like that. Guys do things like that. I'm sorry, Mona.
All around when I have my show.
yeah. Well, I mean, it's all right. It gives a kind of nice little. It's like monks
yeah, right.
in the background.
Oh, gosh.
Hang on. Where's my bell? Where's my bell?
Jingle your balls.
Where's
all right.
my bell? There we go. So it's like monks chanting now.
Atoning sounds. Was at Mount Shasta and found a room full of toning bowls. We weren't supposed to be in there, but we were playing some pretty decent music.
You did some. Did you do?
We got kicked out, man.
Did you do some bong with your bingity?
It was just beautiful. And then I Mount Shasta. That was cool too.
Bingity bong.
Mm-hmm. But I was thinking the placebo effect. Because we talk about all these different energies and elements and things like that that'll fortify us, but it's all how we think and what we do and who we really are and how we play it.
Well, you,
is how health in that is, in my opinion.
Were you listening to what I was talking about, the body elemental?
No, I think I just came in. It just came in right before the chocolate, actually.
I knew it. I mentioned chocolate, and you're in there like lightning. Without even all right. So what I'm talking about, Mona, is I'm talking about the body elemental, which is the physical body. You know, the actual the thing that has arms and legs. You know, and it has the consciousness of like a 4-year-old child. It's like or a horse or a an intelligent dog. And that's our self. You know, we say you look after yourself. That's yourself. You see? And it's got, as I said, it's got quite a low consciousness. And your higher consciousness, your soul has, the lowest point it can go is the solar plexus. But the body elemental, the highest it can go is the solar plexus. So that's when your solar plexus is clear, you can, the high and the low can meet. Let me just give out a quick esoteric secret. THALM, thalam, means the highest and lowest meet. Or, as Crowley says, the law of Thelema. I bet somebody's not going to like me for that. But,
why is that? Why would...
Well, it's just an occult secret. Anyway.
Well, I got that, and I'm feeling a lot of that right now, actually, that's in that same area. Remember I called that one, was it last Monday, the Monday before?
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that, thalama is an evil thing to say? What do you mean? Or whatever the word was.
Thalama, the law of thalama. It's, it means the highest and lowest meet. That's what it means.
But not meat as in flesh, meat
as in
greet.
Meat as in connect, yeah.
Greet, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes you have to be re-envision out here, okay?
All right, okay, sorry. I don't eat meat, so I don't think about meat. Meat's murder. Meat is death.
I haven't had meat, and I don't know how long. And
When I got to the body elemental is something that, and I was suggesting that every day people ask your body, you know, and, you know, just imagine like the little child version of you, right? The bit that likes, you know, likes running, you know, running through the forest or something. That part of you, has a voice, and it's a very quiet little voice, and, ask it what it wants every day. You know, what do you want to do? What do you want today? And it might say, you know, I want to eat, you know, what is it? Well, you know, I want to eat some plain chocolate. I want to eat some marzipan. You know, it might have some very specific things because you know how cats or dogs, will eat a specific food because it's got a particular mineral in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's your body element.
It's called craving, right?
Well, not quite. Well, yeah, maybe. the nung does the craving thing as well.
What's the intent?
But this thing, this body elemental has that consciousness. It knows what to eat.
Right.
In order to balance itself out. So, that's the thing that I'm, you know, I'm trying to, and like I said, last week, every day it said, wanted some fish. I have this funny fishy voice when I speak to the cats. Anyway,
we all do get that way when we talk to different entities. Heck yeah.
I have my cat voice is kind of fishy, fishy, fishy. Hello, fishy, fishy.
I don't know why I do it. It was crazy. It's like,
cat people are nuts, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm a chicken man right now.
I personally right now have a goose, but I've actually had many familiars throughout my life.
Have you cooked your
goose?
Hey,
tall Iris. No,
hey,
I'm
Iris.
Cooking my goose. I keep asking her for the golden egg, though, okay?
Squeeze
Is that
it.
Enough?
Give it a cuddle. Apparently that makes
I keep
eggs.
Trying.
Pam, Al,
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
I was listening to Studio A. Then I said, let's see what's happening on Studio B, because the chat room was so busy, right? And we have JP saying, I'm just going to talk about tea and drink tea if anybody wants to call in. And I was trying to call in, but I didn't have your contact.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too, about the tea thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how to make good tea. All right. Because here's the thing, all right? There are people who, for some reason, refuse to serve others. And they make bad drinks. So that when people... Mona, when people say, oh, come on, Mona, go and make a cup of tea, you know, and they think, oh, hang on a second, she makes terrible tea, then you don't get asked to make the tea, and so you lose by not having the opportunity to serve with your love. Anyway.
I have Karen who serves the tea,
see,
and the
I bet Karen makes fantastic
who
tea.
Comes over... They know where the hot water bottle
exactly.
is and where the tea bags are.
I
expect shit out of me, man.
I knew that Karen would be an excellent... I bet she makes fantastic tasting tea.
Oh, there's many things that she does throw together.
I know, but tea is... You see, you've got to understand that tea is a very important thing. It's global.
It's part of the social thing, yeah.
And the tea ceremony... Mm-hmm. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to work in a little shop. That was run by a Chinese lady, and I was doing my ray readings in the attic, and they were doing what are they doing at the back? Resonance machine. I don't remember the name of that resonance machine. And the bioresonance machine, they had one in the back there, and I did the readings upstairs, and in the front of the shop, they did the Chinese tea ceremony. And, it was very interesting, you know, this is like, it covers all the senses and, I learned how to do it in the thing. Also probably about 10 years ago now, I went to a tantra workshop, and there is also there's a tantric tea ceremony, which is very beautiful. Very, very beautiful indeed.
I bet it is.
Anyway, so. There is a very important thing that you learn what you learn in the tantric tea ceremony is that the energy of the water, as you know, water carries energy. the energy of the water that you hold in your hand as you give to your lover, you can imbue with your own essence. And so as your lover drinks the tea, he or she infuses already with your essence. And so you mingle your essences through the tea. Okay. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, yeah, quite. Actually, I see it. That's like everything we do, JP, and everything could be a ceremony of unconditional sharing of that kind of energy source. In fact, that's what it should be.
Right, like when we prepare food. I've been preparing
I was thinking of packing a bowl, but you know.
Yeah, that's as servile as Mona gets. She'll pack you a bowl.
I've done good connect and very many pipe ceremonies. Mm-hmm. They are very vital and important as well too. Totally. So yeah, I get the whole thing.
I'm being facetious, but
but it's true. Really.
But look, basically anything that's got water content mm-hmm. will contain memory storage, which you can imbue with your essence.
I do. So every time I make my coffee, I tell it I love it and let's have some help spread joy.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's really good with the point he's bringing out because, you know, we do that, and to remember to bless things. But when the way you're saying it, JP, is that you imbue your essence into what you're making, you know, or what you're cooking, or like Mona said, other things. But,
well, it's the joy. It's a natural ingredient. When I make my green butter stuff, there's so much love and joy in that that people salivate before they even
get I'd love a pound of that just for some biscuits. Oh, man. Anyway.
That's because you imbue it, darling, with those green butter milks that you make. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those are so yummy.
Oh, you should have tried chocolate salty ones. They are so good. They crunch and melt and stimulate everything. It's so cool. But pardon us.
meanwhile, so, you know, let's try and keep it on the body elemental thing and, you know, the whole energetic communication with it, because I think it's a really good thing to talk about.
I want to hear more about the solar plex part where the below is trying to greet and meet with the above, because can you talk a little more about that,
where the highest and lowest meet in the solar plexus? So the thing is that the solar plexus is the connection into the soul, through the soul, through the astral plane, the fourth dimension, and all this stuff. And if it's cluttered by programming and by frozen emotion and what people call material or stuff or shit, or, you know... As in, you know, that guy is full of. mm-hmm. All of that is what occurs, you know, in the solar plexus. And if you've got a very kind of claggy kind of emotional situation going on, then that will probably also reflect in this claggy, stuck kind of digestive system.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Okay, so it's all about the digestive system is all about the exchange of energies. And we're extracting the glucose out of it. I'm speaking very cockney today. Out of it. taking the glucose right out of it. And then in the final moment, that glucose is turned to electricity. And so we actually run on electricity, which is light. So we do really run on light.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all of that material in our, that is stuck in our body elemental's kind of brain, as it were. You know, the solar plexus is its highest consciousness. So if it's totally absorbed in, you know, gossip and rumor and, overexcitement and, anxiety and warlike feelings, hatred, fears, you know, just like everybody, all of these things clag and you know, they just basically confuse this little creature. And we have all these commands that are coming from above, you know, oh, I haven't got enough. You know, we've got all these worries, all the worries, right? Okay. People think that worries are private. Here's, let me just tell you one thing that is going to shock you all. If you worry in your head, someone is listening. That someone is your body elemental. And that's why you get ill. Because you're telling it.
Do we have more than one elemental? Like in because of the fire, earth, air, and water kind of elementals?
When I say the body elemental, it's like the combination. It's like the elemental being. Like the, like the fairy.
It's Uno of the group. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like the consciousness of the group of organs, surrounded by skin that is your physical being. Mm-hmm. It's got no intelligence of your own. It's the robot of it, you know? And it's got, like I say, it's got a 4-year-old sort of consciousness or an intelligent horse or animal or dog.
Cool.
So.
Well, I'm envisioning it. I can see that.
So, and now you understand that when people who worry get sick, it's because this little creature is listening to that worry and acting on it, or trying to.
Wants to make the upper being happy.
Oh, I haven't got enough money. Yeah, yeah, exactly. What are kids like? What do kids want? They want both parents to be happy. They want everybody to be happy. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's natural. And so they do all they can to try and make that happen within their limited powers. Now, the body, the one thing that kids, what have kids got? What is the big power that kids have got? They learn it at 6 months old. The power of no. Yeah. They know how to say no. And that really can throw things right out. Can't it? So, your body can say yes and it can say no. And if you can learn to speak to your body and ask it, do you want this? Yes. Do you want that? No. If you can hear the difference. And that's what dowsing is. Really. You know, you can do it with a pendulum. I do it with my fingertips.
Well, direct. What about that one where you do the test of the arm?
Same thing.
Or the, okay.
Yeah. It's basically, chi flows and makes you strong. If it's true. If it's not true, chi will not flow. You will be weak and it will collapse. Hmm. So you can, here, try this. Everybody who's listening to Journeys with JP, take your thumb of your left hand and touch it to the tip of your pinky. Okay. You feel that? Okay. You got that? Everybody? Now, if you take your index finger and thumb of the other hand, put those inside this loop and try to push them apart with your fingers. Just feel what that's like. Yeah? Now, if you find how much pressure it is to just resist your pushing apart. Okay? Find that point of pressure of how... You know, if you pushed it apart just a little bit further, then your fingers will come apart. But if you just kind of, you know, like tapped up against it, it won't knock it over. It'll hold. Yeah. Get to feel what that feeling is. Okay. Now, by applying the pressure, you know, a nominal pressure, very small amount, just to hold your fingertip together. And then ask your body to say, give me yes. Or give me no. Now, you may want to try something else. You might want to say, my name is blah, 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 whatever your name is. So if I say, you know, my name is JP, you know, I get a positive. Right? And a positive is that your fingers stick together like magnets, like an electromagnet. But if I say, my name is Sonia Davis, which is not, then my finger and my pinky and my thumb come completely apart. Are we getting that? So try that with your own name and with some other name. You want to try that right now?
I learned the discipline that it's actually the thumb and the forefinger, but then I could be wrong because I know that the thumbs are always neutral and then it goes positive, negative, positive, negative.
Doesn't really matter. It really doesn't matter because it's about chi. It's not necessarily about the organ flow or the, you know, polarity. You can, you know, do it. Well, it doesn't matter which way around it is. You know, I can do it with any finger.
Okay, well, that's what I was trying to consider, too, because some of us get real retentive about
this. Yeah, don't be retentive about this stuff. When, you know, this is a difference between ritual and ceremony.
Yeah,
ceremony,
unconditional and conditional, too, right?
Well, ritual is like you've got to do it this way. You know, you've got to take six steps, one turn round, turn right to the left. Oh, stupid. Ritual's for reptiles, you know. It's for the reptile brain, which is even lower than your body elemental. Anyway. So, you can then, using this technique, ask your body elemental, because it's your body elemental that's flowing the chi, you know? It's the one that's gathered all that electricity out, all that sugar. You can ask it, shall I go to the mall today, or shall I go to the beach? Yeah? Or I could go to the mall today, or I could go to the beach. Shall I go to the mall? Yes, no. Shall I go to the beach? Yes. No. Let's go to the beach then.
We do it off items that we're going to purchase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, you do it. However, do it all the time. Because as soon as you get to a certain point, you realize you don't need to do it with your fingers anymore because you can feel. You can actually feel the yes and the no.
Right.
You get. And then you're constantly in touch. And that's your higher self and your lower self. Boom. You've got a level of enlightenment there. And then what?
Self-containment, or at least self-awareness, with that you are part of what your working system is. So treat it fairly, oil the right parts, and it'll last a little extra longer, you know?
Mm. Yeah. And also, you know, downtime is important. You know, it's important to take rest. And as I was saying before, you know, when you're out of time, you know, when you're outside of the time regulation zones and you sleep when you need to and you eat when you need to and you do all the other things when you need to rather than according to a schedule, apart from run a radio station, you know, like, as if I, you know, what is it? So, I mean, this is actually, Walter is a kind of anchor in time. And I'm noticing that the days get more and more and more.
Right.
It's almost, it's like, you know, who gave the drummer the calendar? You know, the days are just getting faster and faster and faster. Musicians will know that as a joke. Anyway, it's part of the growth of our consciousness that we become aware of this elemental. And then you'll realize that when you're aware with this elemental, your communication with everything else in the universe then opens up because you realize that this is the channel. To be as children is what one interpretation is. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, Pamela.
She fell asleep.
She's
took
gone
one
to
of
sleep.
Those row naps.
Yeah, it's a row nap.
I worked on the computer and I had myself a mute.
Yeah, well done. So, Pamela, tell us about stuff. What's going on? Do you have any questions?
I wanted to share my special drink story.
Your special drink. Oh yeah, because I was talking about how to make the perfect tea. So,
right, and I do agree with the sentiment that you're bringing up is what we put into it, and I'm so glad that you reminded me of imbuing or, you know, what our intent is.
Hmm.
But I have this new coffee drink I'm drinking, which I pulled out of the cupboard. It's called a French press coffee maker, so I bought it like 10 years ago. I never used it because, you know, it was too much hassle or I didn't really know how to, but I've learned how to use it, and I am just enjoying my coffee spectacularly with this French press thing that I have pulled out. So that was my little take for tonight's. You were talking about tea.
Is that what you mean? One of those?
Oh, yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's my coffee pot. Yeah, I use the French method Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly like mine. I love it.
Yes,
I
it's
just
made by
it.
Bodum. Bodum, 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 bodum.
Mine's anyway. A pour over, but go ahead. Yeah, and I add herbs to mine.
Oops, sorry. Hi, everybody.
Hi, hi.
So I just turned on my camera so that Pamela could see what I've been. That's what I drank my coffee from. So well done. We were here at the French Press Club. bonjour. C'est newspaper. Newspaper is here. Where are we? Everybody's playing with their fingers.
No, yeah. I know, because let me see. Tell me.
But it really does work. That's the whole fun about it, you know?
Very posh. Is that a metal one?
It.
Metal frame?
Yeah. Yeah, right? So you kind of, like, that comes out, the craft?
Yeah, yeah. The one I've got is a plastic frame, and I put it on my stove, and of course I've melted it, so, I'm gonna have to
that
make it.
That is a problem reheating it.
Yeah. So I like, you know, but I'm not gonna bang on about
that's
my
why
coffee.
I have a thermos, because after mine cooks through and gets heated, I put it straight in the thermos.
I have this thing. All right, okay. Steaks already. So here we are. This is the thing. I have a little trivet. Where's my camera? Only people on the call can see this, but I'm holding up a small cast iron trivet, which has a candle.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, I love it.
In the middle, and then you can rest your cup of tea or your little saucepan or whatever on it, and you put a little tea light. That's what tea light candles are for, because
I know.
Tea light.
See, this is, look at, mine is so little, it's only like a half an inch or something, is I want to know if I could get like a little something to make it warm, but yeah. I usually just reheat it like in a pan.
Yeah. So, I mean, really all you need to do is have something that's got a hole in it, that'll raise up the coffee pot by a few inches and to stand on it and put a,
a little candle
at the bottom. That's all, you know, just anything.
I know.
Check your camping supply store.
Get creative. I think it's always good to get creative.
What could be more simple for a perfect cup of coffee than just hot, boiling hot water and a press? It's like, it's so amazing to me, the simplicity of it. Uh-huh. I am. I'm really enjoying it.
All right. Excellent. Just figuring out how to know what day you know. Thanks, never thought of doing it that way before. Okay.
Yeah, let's get primitive.
So look, here is how to make the right cup of tea. How to make a proper cup of tea, right? I can't believe I'm saying this, but anyway. Because some people really don't know. All right.
This is really important information. It's like how to cook with love.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you have to do the right thing as well as being, do the love thing. But here's the first thing. All right. So you boil the kettle. Yeah, that's normal. You don't expect that. You don't have to, but if you want to, when you boil the kettle, just pour a little bit of water into the cup, swirl it around to warm the cup up and dump that. Right. So then you've got a warm cup. You throw the tea bag in there, and then you fill it up to just near the top, and you let it stand for a few minutes, or about a minute or so. And here's the next thing, right? You don't put the milk in until you've taken out the tea bag, right? And when you take out the tea bag, you don't squeeze it really hard. You just squeeze out, just gently squeeze it so it doesn't drip anymore. So it just takes out the sort of surface water without squeezing it so hard. Because that's the mistake that a lot of people make, is that they squeeze the tea bag so hard that you can then get this kind of bitter residue that drips into the cup. And that's part of the secret. Then you add the milk. And the milk has to be regular homogenized, not the green cap, not the semi-skimmed or any skim kind of thing. Because otherwise you then have to put twice as much in to get the right color. Because basically it's the fat that makes the tea the right color. And so that's how to make a nice cup of tea. And if you're coming around my house, that's exactly how it's going to get made for you.
And a shot of brandy?
In tea? No.
Heck yeah, I
no,
would.
No, no, no. I wouldn't put alcohol in tea. You don't put alcohol in tea.
Oh, no, you don't even drink.
There are moments. But you're right, I really normally don't drink.
Oh,
I do make my great tinctures, though. Every now and then, I gotta open the bottle and have a shot of tincture.
Have a drop of the tincture. Stepdaughter, I had a whole bunch of batch flower remedies. You know, they're all made with brandy and and flower essences. And I had a whole collection of them. And when she was four, my stepdaughter drank about five of them.
Just like, oh, God, jeez.
Like, she's got up to it and just took all the bottles apart and drank it down. Bless her little heart. Now she's a film star, so that's not bad. Maybe it worked. Maybe she just took all those essences on and whoom.
That's right. Get rid of that. Yeah.
She's grafted. She's probably grafted all those essences on and completely essenced out. Bless her heart. Amber Anderson, check her out. She's in Riot Club, which is a film about the Bullingdon Club, which is the UK's version of the Skull and Bones.
Oh, whoa.
And, yeah, I won't go into that right now, maybe later. Anyway, so there's how to
I had a question.
Go ahead.
I heard Count's name mentioned today, and I hadn't thought about him, I guess, in a week or two. I don't know. I got into my own stuff or whatever. But what's happened to Count? He was, like, on every day for a long time, and sometimes in the afternoon, you know, there's a lull or with people calling in or, you know, sometimes I thought Mr. Rowe and Count were, like, not the same person, but, you know, they were kind of, like, But where is Count?
No.
Well, there's a good idea. There's a good word. Putting out a call to Count Cranier. Count Cranier, please come to the
Yeah, there you go. Well, Doc Who's come back. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And that's good because I can use my I can use my TARDIS landing jingle, you know. When
there you go. Talking. Yeah, right.
Bit loud.
It almost sounds like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, doesn't it?
You see with this new system, I've got a whole new bunch of jingles. I've got this. This is tentacle flopping. See? And his, yeah, check this. And his tentacle flopped to the ground. Hey, what is it? Well, who's the, hey Chris, I bought you a bullfrog.
I'll try him out on Sean.
Well, I got a scratch, record scratch. Ooh.
I thought it was a zipper, but go ahead. The nylon ones, you know, not the metal ones.
Oh, got this sword. And thunder. And indeed, angels.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
That part
That's cool. That's really
cool. Little
montage. We need to get me some free jingles or whatever.
Yeah, I was raised from Disney World, okay? My mind's already warped enough.
So, yeah. He's probably...
So Mr. Rowe has the new YouTube channel, and I was perusing around Ed Cherichini, you know, the Dallas Goldbug or the Well Aware one that he was talking about, Ed Cherichini, and I listened to that tape again that he did, Mr. Rowe's interview that he did on December 15th. It's really good. Super, super, super good.
So, my guest, James Swagger, was due to be on, but I think, you know, it's 1 o'clock there in Ireland, and he's maybe had a Guinness tonight. Yeah. So,
what is
mean
this
1 a.m.?
Yeah, it's 1 a.m. 1 in the morning.
Okay, so maybe yeah.
Yeah, could well be. So you know, it's Monday night. Down there. Yeah, actually, apparently James doesn't ever go in, doesn't ever land. He just keeps traveling, you know, just keeps going around and going around, and going around the world. Yeah.
A perpetual traveler?
Yeah. So, ARP is building a portable app USB drive. I think they're brilliant. I have a portable app USB drive. In fact, I've got a USB drive that I can load Ubuntu 15 with, which is Station in a Box. Anybody's interested in Station in a Box? You know, if you have your own server and a website, and Station in a Box, you can broadcast from a laptop. And the laptop is not necessarily, a new one. You can use quite an old one, one that would have run, say, Windows Vista or Windows XP. And, you load this system on, and it runs very fast. The more memory you have, the faster it'll go. And, it's free. There's no license fee. The license fee is you kind of basically have to become a bit of an evangelist. Cause once you realize how amazing it is, you do want to tell people and show people and, you know, give it out. Here, look, give me a computer of yours. You know, so if you've got any old laptops that have like for instance, the hard drive is filled up or, the hard drive failed, for instance, but the machine is still working, get a new hard drive. And they're cheap. You can get about, you know, get a terabyte for $50 now. And, you can then, load Ubuntu onto it. And if you wanted to, I can give you the instructions to, set it up and, make a radio station out of it and have stuff like this, birdsong while you speak. There we go. Here in the park.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Nice in the park. Yeah. And,
no, I think the radio station idea of making it available for people to know how to use or to get involved with or to open their minds up to that, I think that that is an expanding venue that should be looked into more because getting people to communicate without, you know, the media and other ways in a grassroots way.
Exactly.
What you're offering is actually really important.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the idea is that it's for grassroots groups to connect with each other. Hang on.
It is really cool.
Let's go to the sea. Hang on. Meanwhile. Oh, wow.
Back at the shore.
Wow, that's very, oh. Oh, that's not supposed to do that. It's not supposed to just, like, yeah, anyway. I got the clock now.
That was kind of soft.
Oh.
I was going to say lame.
Oh, we could, there we go. Meanwhile, on the beach. That's better. I feel all refreshed now. Mona, are you with me? Still there? Mona, unmute. Oh, she's probably gone to the bathroom. It's a short break, maybe. Anyway, probably gone to get a cup of tea and make a cup of tea the JP way. So. Yeah. So. That's a bit weird. So, yes, well, yes, raise somebody. Indeed. So, hello everybody in the chat room. I don't know if Muggs is live tonight, or we'll see in an hour's time. Yes, indeed. Well. when I was talking about making a decent cup of tea, Stone Hobbit, who's from New Zealand, said, she says, turn pot three times one way, three times the other, lift up above the head and bring back to waist, warm cup and pour, no milk or sugar. So, actually, when I first met my ex-wife, or my now ex-wife, and you'll find that anyway, when I first met her, she just gave me a list, she barked a list of what drinks she would have at which time of day. You know, so like, so at breakfast I have a cup of tea, no sugar, milk, no sugar. And then at 11 o'clock I will have a barley cup, made with soya milk. And you know, and so on and so on all through the day. And she expected me to remember all this. I was like, you know, what? So, you know, I spent years making the wrong cup of tea and the wrong consistency. And it's like, you know, oh yeah. You know, way to make someone feel a failure. Yeah. So making a decent cup of tea is really important, you know, especially if you're in a relationship, you know, I mean, divorces have been made for less, but you gotta get this, right? You don't leave the tea bag in unless you want it to be bitter. If you like your tea bitter, fine. Let people know. But if you don't like it horrible, then you're gonna, you know, you can use these instructions. So the basic thing is you take the tea bag out before you put the milk in, and don't squeeze it too hard. Squeeze it gently, just till it stops dripping, and then that's enough. Any more, and it will start getting bitter. All right, I don't know why I'm talking about my cup of tea. Meanwhile, where did Mona go? Whatever happened to Mona? Are you there? Ah, she's very quiet. Anyway, if anybody wants to call in, at least you got it in the cup. Yeah, don't squeeze the tea bag. You know, and here's the thing, you know, that same ex-wife could not make a decent cup of tea. And, because she, you know, she has her habits and I had my habits. And her habits are, you know, when she makes a cup of tea, somehow she manages to sink the tea bag. So it's like a mine. And, you know, the tea is okay for a little while. And as you drink down, it's kind of, oh, that's getting strong, you know, and then suddenly you bite into this thing, and it's horrible. Every time she made me a cup of tea, she would leave this tea bag in, and it would have this weird perspective of, homogeneous. It would get more and more intense and bitter towards the end. Actually, that's probably a bit like our relationship. So, that's how it all happens. Yeah. Tea thingy. Well, tea is good. If you got, you know, if you use like 2 tea bags and make it really strong, that's good, but don't squeeze them. It's that, the tannin is like very, that's what makes all the bag brown and everything. And your throat and everything inside you brown. Anyhow, so, where were we? Yes, how about, yes, tea strainer. There you go, Stone Hobbit bought a new tea strainer. Yeah, well, you know, tea bags and all that. Tea infusers, that's a whole other thing. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, we're talking about English tea, you know. So if any American wants to make a nice cup of tea for a British person, that's what you have to do. And by the way, the water must be boiling. Not just kind of bubbling away. It's got to be boiling, really. Otherwise, you don't get that. You've got to evaporate those little, you know, you've got to melt those oils down, the flavor. Anyway. So, what's going on in the chat room? Oh, Nighthawk's up. Yes. So, tan me hide on the inside. Transparency, exposure, accountability. So, having said that, the tea ceremony. Yeah. So, a few years ago, I was very happy to go to a Tantra conference, and, you know, at the time, I didn't have a partner, so there are a whole bunch of us outside, because you're supposed to, you know, find a partner. So a whole bunch of us sort of standing outside, and it was like, Oh, hello. Yeah. Haven't you got one? No. All right. I haven't got one either. Okay. Well, you and me got it. So we chose a random partner to do this with. It was a friend of mine. It was fine. Yeah. Cause it wasn't sexual. It wasn't like, you know, taking your clothes off or anything. It was about the energies of it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. There you go. So here we go. So here's the tea ceremony. And what was really interesting is that when we did this, it seemed, oh wow, this is obviously what you do. You know, so, we were asked to go and pick a flower, and I think I found a buttercup. There wasn't much around the outside, so I picked a little buttercup or something. It was a pretty little flower, and you make the tea. So you sit opposite your partner, and first of all, you make, pour a cup of the tea out. It's a jasmine tea. And, you hold the tea in your hand, in both hands. You cup the tea, you cup the cup in both hands. And, imagine that you're breathing your essence into it. You know, so that it's like, it's really got your vibration in it. And you offer that to your partner, and, they then take that and contemplate it and, you know, receive the energy from the cup itself, before drinking it. So it's like taking it in on a kind of spiritual form and then in the physical form. And then the other partner does the same back. So you do that. And then you take the flower. Actually, I think you do the flower first. But you basically hold the flower in front of you and examine, you know, look at its beauty and appreciate the flower for what it is. I know, it's dead. It's been picked, yeah. All right. But you examine the flower and then you offer it to your partner and such and such. So it's this kind of, offer, receive thing back and forth. And the final thing that you do, is in turn. So you're sitting quite close opposite, sitting cross legs in front of her, and you take your partner's, left foot and you put that in your lap and, you massage that while they take your left foot in their lap. So it's a kind of mutual, simultaneous massage of each foot. And then the feet are given back and the opposite foot is given. And then at the end, you namaste, you hold your hands together and bow your head and, salute each other. And that's the ceremony. Isn't that beautiful?
It's honor. Isn't honor that for the essence of all of it. That's really cool.
Yeah, totally. So that's, I don't think that's a Tibetan thing. I don't know. Anyway, or not, the Chinese tea ceremony is different. But that's the tantric tea ceremony.
Just imagine what other synapses and other body parts that would be open, because your foot is the whole body. And that there's no other touch but, well, you being a Pisces, you know how great that is on the feet. Your feet are really vital to you.
If anybody wants to impress me, just grab me by the foot. definitely. As a Piscean, my feet are really important. The comfort of feet in shoes is incredibly important to a Piscean, because it's like they've got nerve endings like nobody else has. You know, these nerve endings go right deep into the soil, into the ethers, into the atmosphere, into outer space. And
I have Mars and Venus in Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
What an interesting phenomena. Mm.
Well, my Venus, I'm having a Venus return, any second, today.
Any second, really?
Well, something like that. I don't know exactly when is it. I'll have to work it out. I'll get solar fire out while you're talking. You've got, this kind of exchange situation. Have you in the traditions you've studied, do you have anything similar like that, Mona?
Similar like which?
Like the tea ceremony, like this interaction, the tantric ceremony there.
Well, I have a thing that when we were doing the Lakota sharing of partnership and creating that, my partner wouldn't go to the ceremony, but I still got trained and went through the idea of what a partnership was. So I had to give partnership to myself, not to somebody else, which was actually pretty cool, because we did, and we opened an east gate. We opened all the gates. It was a normal circle kind of ceremony that we did, but this was a little more grandiose. And so as those people gave to each other and threw their prayer into the cornmeal prayer into the fire, they'd walk on. Well, since I was alone, I threw my cornmeal into the fire, and all of a sudden in my etheric world, which I visit on and off, the elders, the ones that were trapped into that area, which was a Native American grounds, okay, they were there first before the Spaniards and everybody else, because if you investigate St. Pete, Florida, it's a big Native or stolen native habitat. And so I got to help release the elders that were stuck in that place just because I didn't have somebody else I had to share with. Did that make sense? That was such an evening.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I've just looked up my Venus return. I've already had it. It was 15:18, so quarter past three this afternoon. Was I awake? Just hanging around. Actually, I had a lovely... Yeah, actually, that was really nice. I just sat in my conservatory. The wind was blowing hard, but the sun was out. So sitting in the conservatory out of the wind and the sun coming down, it was like summer. It wasn't really outside. It was like, you know, minus seven. But the afternoon was very pleasant, and I sat there with my solar panels, enjoying my little conservatory, having a cup of tea, made the JP way, of course.
Yeah, I heard that. I don't do much milk and tea, though. Uh-huh. It would be rather interesting. I mean, to me, it would have to be like a.
Oh, it's black tea. It's what you guys call black tea.
Not when you add milk.
No, it won't be black when it's... No. It's not black tea as in black coffee, but black tea as in tea that's black.
Right, but I'd rather have green tea. Or jasmine's really cool, but being an herbalist, you know, tea covers a big area.
Yeah, well, when I say tea, I mean what we call in Britain builder's tea. The tea that, like, Irishmen drink and Scotsmen and Canadians.
There's so many different ways that they do it. Personally, the green tea is your best, in my opinion, for tea. I was raised on black tea. It's great for sunburn. If anybody gets hurt or burns, make a tub full of black tea bags. Man, it'll take all the swelling and the sting and the dermatologist problem away. Black tea's pretty cool, actually.
Mm. There's the other thing is you can use tea bags, black tea bags, on all sorts of things. If, for instance, you lose the color of a piece of wood because it's been scratched, you can rub a tea bag into it and get that nice little honey color back using the tannin. That's what tan is. That's the tan. Mm-hmm. The color of tan is the color of tannin, which is a black tea essence.
They found here, though, that some of the tannins and the things, because I don't know if it would be because of the fluoride in the water or what, but it's actually been manifesting a lot of extra differences on how kidney stones are manufactured.
Yeah, it's probably glyphosate as well. That's probably glyphosate.
Oh, well, I did a show today. They're going to add it to the pharmaceutical vaccinations. I mean, they're really indebted to flipping being ugly. I want everybody's kid to stand up and say, no more. We want our meat. Oh, no. Never mind. we've just really become so under conscious idea of being who we're supposed to be here. Are you going to fix
your
stove?
You've lost me.
Oh, and you wouldn't be the first.
talk it out, folks.
To a minister that we can stand up and have our strength instead of giving it away to some other thing. Like the ceremony, if we did that for ourselves. Can you imagine setting a place for yourself with a flower and, you know, just have good conversation with yourself? Why do you need somebody else?
About half the time. Half the time you know what you're going to say. But the other half of the time, it's often quite surprising, you know, what you might come up with that you didn't expect yourself to say.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Happens like that. Don't talk to atoms. They make everything up. So, should I go on to coffee now?
Are they the alpha or the omega?
Should I talk about coffee now?
Oh, in fact, I'm making some. So you go ahead and make coffee and
well,
I'll go.
Well, here's the thing. Here's, you know... When you now in America, Mona, does coffee come as instant? Do you have a thing called instant coffee? Oh, she's actually instantly left. So that blows that one away. I mean, because the whole thing about making coffee, you know, well, making coffee the way I do, it's not about making bean coffee, but it's the how to make, right, here's how to make the best of instant coffee. And this is, because what happens is when people take their instant coffee, and of course it's a Nestle product, isn't it? Freeze-dried coffee. What people do is they put a spoonful of coffee in the cup and then pour the hot water onto that spoon and then add the milk. And what that does is make the very volatile oils in the instant coffee all evaporate immediately. And so all you're left with is this kind of freeze-dried, burnt thing. So what you do is you put your milk in, and then you put the coffee into the coffee powder into the milk and stir that, and that will prevent it boiling away. And it also the volatile oils will actually become mixed, emulsified into the milk, and then you add the hot water, and then you have a delicious cup of something not quite. Kind of unlike a nice cup of tea, but it's, you know, a nice cup of coffee, but it's better than instant coffee just as it is with the, so don't boil the instant coffee, boil the tea, you put boiling water on the tea, but not on the coffee. Anyway, so, all right, there's a proper English bloke. Because you got to get an English bloke talking about tea. Ray, Geezer, you there?
Yes.
Come closer.
Hear me?
No, come closer. No, come closer.
Okay.
That's the one. That whatever you just grabbed, talk into that.
My plaster.
Talk to the plaster.
No, it's the plaster over the bedpan.
Oh, it's over the microphone as well.
Yeah, I know it was. That's what it was the other day, and I couldn't realise it until my daughter told me afterwards.
All right, still closer. We still can't hear you. Pull it right off. I'm not gonna look at you.
I don't mind you do. Coffee shops.
Yeah.
Was in London, coffee shops was before tea shops in the West End. And coffee shops was the place where all the elite met to make their plans going forward to have their, basically it was like a lab books, a betting place. And
we call that a betting shop in, you know, so Ray, yeah. you couldn't come a little bit closer to wherever you're, you know, tilt your laptop. Yeah, that's much better.
Right, thank you.
That's better.
Right. Anyway, yes, but the coffee shops in London was way before the tea. And it was, well, obviously the rich and all got together, and they'd done their betting games there. And then it became a famous club called the White's Club. Heard of this club before?
Hello?
Mona, hello. you just crashed in. Can you?
Yes, I did.
Can you just crash out again? No. Can you mute it for a second? Because Ray's on the line and his mic's quite quiet. So this is Ray Rowe from London, where they say today and tomorrow. Tomorrow. Anyway, so you're talking about coffee houses.
Yeah. The first sort of betting clubs where the elite got together and betted on certain things that was going to happen around the world. And they arranged these sort of betting clubs, and it became the White Clubs, the White's Club. It goes back to 1698. Okay. Yes. And they're still doing betting today. In a sense of betting who's going to be, killed in a certain situation, like a false flag. And it's been going on since all that time, and they do the betting club. It's called the White Club. Have you heard of it, JP?
Well, it's quite an interesting, it's something that I just saw kind of passing by on the Facebook feed recently. I hadn't really investigated it, but I know that these things exist. And yeah. I just didn't know what they were called, but this is an extension of the Bullingdon Club, because, you know, basically they're like taking bets, right?
Yeah.
And what do they do with the money that they take? Is that they'll then make a bigger bet with the collected money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, that becomes like the stake for a then, you know, it just, they kind of, what's the word? Escalate it, you know.
Escalates. Yeah.
And eventually you get to something that is like a 9/11 where you have a very large amount of money that is gambling on whether the, whether it's like an insurance policy, thing called a catastrophe.
The Titanic thing.
Precisely.
The Titanic was, sunk on purpose. It wasn't the Titanic, it was Olympia. Because Olympia got damaged in port. And Olympia was a twin of the Titanic. And insurance companies refused to pay for it because it was a fault of the captain. So they done it up to make it look like the Titanic, and it sank on purpose. It was insurance, and it was a gambling, and this is part of the White Club, and they've been doing the same things over and over again over decades and decades until you come up to 9/11. It's exactly the same thing. It's same repeat.
That's right. It's the same MO.
Yeah.
They lay insurance on something and then they get it destroyed that triggers the appropriate insurance policy. So.
And this all started now
go ahead.
In what they're called the Coffee Club in England when it started, the Coffee Club.
What coffee does, Ray. People should drink tea.
There you go. And this White Club is still going, probably, you know. The biggest, the first betting club in this country was Ladbrokes. And Ladbrokes was their main user, and still is today. And they still do it today. They go into hotels and hotels suite is set up and they watch these events going on, these false flags, and they bet. And the winner takes the pool money. Very sad, isn't it?
And these are the same kind of, do you know what a Ponzi scheme is?
These are the same people we've been doing it.
Yeah. Do you know what a Ponzi scheme is?
Yeah.
I'll just explain it just in case anybody doesn't know. I think most people do now, but it's basically, you know, 20 people get together and, everybody puts in a fiver, £5. And, the first week, the person who's drawn out of the hat gets all of the £5 put together. So 20 times five is £100, right? And so, every week you need to bring in a new person to pay the £5 that's going to be missing from the people who have already won the process. So you have to keep bringing in new people.
Pyramid club.
Yeah. But this is what this is the model of our financial system.
Exactly. This is how they build it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is that you need new blood in order to feed it. And now we've got to the point when there's never enough. There will never, ever, ever be enough to pay off the debt of the world to the banks, which is why now what the Chinese have done is, you know, basically slaughtering the bankers. You know, that'll stop it.
Yeah. Now, what Ben's saying, that you've been saying, since Friday.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Yeah, can I bring something up?
Yeah, come in, Mona, for a moment.
Sorry, Mona.
9/11 was ours, and we got the Patriot Act out of it, and look what happened when the tea got spilt in this water. So, you know, it's all still maritime law. But it's just still a big shiest game. It's not even got shells anymore.
Hmm? Mona, it's all a game. 9/11, the insurance was changed 2 days before the 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed the insurance, and when it went down, they got paid out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's really interesting about that? Is that the precise insurance terms for this thing were almost impossible to achieve, because the terms of the insurance was that the building should be attacked by a terrorist and to be leveled to a height of no more than one story high.
Whoa. How tall were they?
Well, you know, how is it? Hundreds of floors. So what they actually had to do, from what I hear, right, what they actually had to do is to scale it out. They basically teleported most of it out and put a nuclear weapon in the basement to create a hollow to take all the stuff that then dropped in through the thermite, that dropped in through the tube that was now formed. As it fell down, it all fell down through the inner tube. And and so because there was a nuclear weapon under there, it was able to create enough hole for all the junk to fall down into.
No, God.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, most of the steel was gone.
Vaporized.
Yes, that's why there was only dust. It's like a microwave, and that's why paper doesn't burn in the microwave, and paper was floating down all the time. There's no desks, no chairs, no toilets, no porcelain, no filing cabinets, just dust and paper.
Yes, because of the elements of it. Now, exactly. What was it? It was...
That's why you put paper into a microwave, like doing chips in a box.
All right.
Your chips will warm up, but the paper won't burn.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't burn, does it?
That's true. You're right.
Microwave, cell towers. Ah.
Well, yeah. I mean, the higher end values are, yeah, of course. If everything gets fried. I had a theory about crop circles that they were made by microwave beams heating up the water underneath the surface of the grass. Then boiling the bottom of the stem so that the stems just fell over.
It boils the bottom at the stem and it pops it.
Yeah.
And it bends over.
And it does it using a microwave beam, you see?
Yeah. Yeah. There's
because your stem is like paper, it won't burn in the microwave.
No, but the water inside will make it pop.
It boils. Boils. Yes, and explodes, yeah.
Exactly. And it bends it over.
Like a walking
stick. Yeah, that happens with bamboo.
That's how you
too.
Can tell the difference between someone doing with a plank or someone doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To make it look like something someone else done it. But when they look at it properly, you can see that the stem is bent because it's been bowled and it pops.
So you believe they're human made or etheric made, JP?
Well, when I was young, I read UFO stories and I saw aliens and I thought, yeah, and I saw Star Trek and everything was aliens. And all right, okay, I get it, you know. We're not alone. But as I've researched over the last few years, yes, we're not alone, but there are human beings of a certain ilk and genre who have a particular leaning, who, you know, don't quite agree with everybody being happy on the planet and just want the place to themselves, it seems. Anyway, that they, these beings, these people in the 1940s, created anti-gravitational craft and soon after started buzzing the Americans with it. And they called them the Foo Fighters, and they handed Admiral Byrd's ass to him on a plate with trimmings. And they buzzed the White House and the Phoenix and all of this stuff. You know, it, OVNIs in Brazil. And then we now know that the Argentinian regime was very, congenial to, that's the word, I can never remember the word congenial, is very congenial to the Hitler regime, and they sort of basically took him on and, you know, let him come in disguise and live out his life.
What, as Father Crispy?
Father Crispy, yeah. Fascinating story. So now my kind of, cosmology is kind of revised. And even to the idea that, you know, Pleiadians don't seem to be the most amazing people either. But, we do have a problem with those pesky Aldebarans. We really do. And, I hate to say it, but, maybe even that fellow Valiant Thor might be an Aldebaran.
Certainly.
Also Ashtar, the Ashtar Command, that's Aldebaran. So, just to remind, most of my listeners, I think, should know where Aldebaran is by now, but it's, if you look up in the sky at Orion, that's how you orient yourself, how you orient yourself. So you look up at Orion, and then you look up over to, right, in the northern hemisphere, it'll be up to the right. Mind you, Orion's probably upside down in New Zealand, so I've no idea where. You probably can't even see Aldebaran.
But you can't see it.
Yeah, probably not.
You can't see the Northern Cross.
No. Well, Aldebaran's not that, it's kind of tropical, so I don't know. But we'll see. Stone Hobbit, can you see Aldebaran from where you are? It's a bright, shining star. It's between Orion and the Pleiades. There's 33 degrees from Orion to the Pleiades, and halfway between them, at the 15th degree, the Ides, which is where you'll find the constellation that is the face of the bull of Taurus. And Aldebaran is the eye of the bull, the bull's eye, and it's a bright red star, quite sparkly. Story says that this is the star where the Sumi come from Sumeria, and they settled in Sumeria. And they basically created this regime. They speak German. They raised the Germans. They were their proteges, and made contact with them through the mediums of Maria Orsic and the Vil Society that gave them the technology to enable interstellar space travel using the Glocker as the primary power unit of the OVNI, what do they call them? The Raumfluger Division. Basically the UFOs, the Hanibu, was one of the manufacturers. That's a really nice sounding name, isn't it, for a terrifying German instrument, is the Hanibu, which is a kind of, it's what you would see, the classic, three-lobed, plasma orbit, kind of, space platform, you know, a la George Adamski. And here's the other thing, guys. Why are they always called George? Why are they all George? They're all George. What is the George thing? Any ideas?
No. As much as I said that before.
It has to be initials for something like NSA for, National Security Association.
Yeah, it's probably a signature. Anyone called George is a contactee. Mm-hmm.
Like the swastika goes back thousands of years.
Oh, yeah. Well, the swastika originally rotated the opposite direction and was on a square. And what they did was to turn it on its point. Right? This is very important. This is like the Metatron cube.
Mm-hmm.
So they not only turned it on its point, but they spun it round. You see? So that's how they reversed the current. The black to the red instead of the red to the black. And there's a lot of kind of plasma energy in that spark.
Everything's like vice versa, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's all about the whole thing. The whole thing that they discovered, accidentally, somehow, they discovered counter-rotation. Okay? And that takes us all the way up to today. All right, so let's just talk about this. This is because this might be relevant.
This is quite a big thing. Wasn't the Earth supposed to spin the other way?
Yeah, that's another thing. That's another thing. But let me just talk about this for a second. Sorry. Die Glocke. That's right. Die Glocke, the Nazi bell.
Yeah.
Was made with two cylinders that rotated in opposite directions, mechanically driven by a motor. And the faster it went, the more charge that it built up and the more gravitational charge that it built up. First of all, it would emit a kind of blue haze. Which one was first? Was it green? I think it goes green first and then it goes blue. And then there's a lot of lightning. It goes invisible, and then it opens the hole. Then it opens the portal. Depending on whether it was chained down or not, it would then through the portal, and then it landed in Kecksburg. Apparently, going somewhere else in the meantime. So that's right. In its journey. That's what caused the Roswell crash, apparently.
Yes.
Interesting.
That was the energy surge.
Wasn't it a timeline and it clashed?
I'm sorry, Ray?
Was it a timeline that clashed?
Yeah, somehow when they were traveling through the astral plane, the fourth dimension, through time and space, they crashed into the Roswell craft.
Exactly.
Possibly. Maybe some kind of microwave scalar harp kind of situation.
Yeah, or they saw that rift in time and space and threw it in there. You never know.
Wasn't that the Philadelphia experiment or the Montauk project?
Okay, so Philadelphia experiment and Die Glocke, both affected the same rift. But not only that, there was more than Die Glocke because the guy, so this goes into the manufacturer of the mercury that is in the drives.
The red mercury. The
red mercury is, made by boiling mercury in a plutonium reactor with thorium and iron filings or something like that. And you boil this stuff. And it's extremely expensive to make because basically it's the electricity it takes to kind of make this reaction happen. And it's about,
the big heavy water, compounds, isn't it?
Yeah, there's H3O as well. But this compound, Zerum 535, they called it, or Vril, is a combination like very hot and very cold. That's what Vril is. So this stuff, if you rotate it, if you counter-rotate it and charge it, so it becomes like an electromagnet, spinning very fast, hundreds of RPM, maybe thousands of RPM, many thousands of RPM, and it makes a whining sound. And that's your classic whining spaceship, right? Yeah? That's the sound of these counter-rotating drums. It's German technology.
The inside stays stable, and it's the two outer shells that does just like a Merkaba.
Just like you see the Merkaba, but basic, very basic, very dirty. It's dirty. It's not spiritual.
Or dimension, that's right.
It's astral, like, yeah. But it's the mercury is incredibly dirty. It's, you know, in terms of its emanations. It's
basically a poison, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so, well, what would antimatter have to do with that? Because that could be a poison too, just like the red.
Oh mercury. Yeah, it probably wouldn't be very good for you. In tiny, 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 incredibly tiny quantities, red mercury is a health-giving thing. Strangely enough. But it's all a matter of dose. What is a poison? What is a medicine?
A cure, right?
Meanwhile, back at Die Glocke, right? Because I want to focus on what this thing is doing. And then I want to bring it forward, right? So what it was doing was, in order to create levitation and create a space-time portal, is it would counter-rotate these now magnetically polarized cylinders of mercury. Okay, so they turn the mercury into an electromagnet and then rotated them very fast against each other. Okay, are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now bring it forward to today, to today, and we have another device that is rotating heavy metals at very high speed in opposite directions along a 17-mile or 27-mile course.
CERN.
Correct.
The clever sort of thing.
So,
well, that's what's trying to collect the antimatter as well, isn't it?
Well, yes, there's all the residue and stuff that's... But, you know...
I heard that CERN broke down again yesterday.
Yeah, nobody wants CERN.
Great video on it. I'll find it.
Yeah. Nobody wants CERN.
Patty put it up, didn't she, the other day?
The Patty? Yeah, Patty Bizarre.
Yeah.
But it wasn't through her. It was through somebody she was watching. That person is so amazing to have all that information and just catch it right on time.
Yeah, yeah. But it did break down, and it did cause a distortion. Over Geneva, and there was apparently looked like a black source, like a black hole, over Geneva.
I've seen this, and the towns are empty. JP, no, it was not a storm cloud. Mm-hmm.
It was showing all the area around, and there was not one car going around, but one person walking around. Nothing. The whole town was absolutely quiet.
Freaky.
Yeah, very.
Very freaky.
This town.
The whole town, it's a camera that spins all around and over the lake. Nothing was moving whatsoever.
Except that one smoke fire. See, there's so much to this.
Smoke coming from the ground. Nola.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you see the way that the Google artificial put the trees in there? I mean, like, you know, they really think we're that stupid, but you gotta watch this video, JP. I'll put it in chat too. It's just amazing what they're really trying to hide.
Yeah.
And they're not gonna get away with it. Okay. What's
so amazing is a whole lot of people live in the area. So what is going on?
I know, where are they? Exactly.
There must be thousands of people who live in the area.
Are there any empty clothes laying on the floor?
No, we haven't seen the ascendant.
I mean, could it be a neutron explosion? Like, everybody's just been
vaporized.
Yeah. I mean, does anybody know anybody who lives in Geneva?
I have been talking to somebody who's not far away, but he hasn't gotten back with me after I posted this video.
Maybe all of Switzerland has been completely wiped out by a neutron explosion. Nobody's gotten out.
Look what happened to the plane.
Ooh.
It flew over that time. Like, everything fell apart, man. It just got like...
What happened to the plane?
Remember the plane? It was one of the times that CERN turned on, and all of a sudden this plane just fell apart in midair.
Yeah, that's.
And I don't even think they found people, did they? Go ahead.
No. Was that the German plane you're talking about? It went from Spain, it was flying from Spain to Germany.
Well, something, but one of the planes.
And, yes, right. But then most planes are taken down by, autopilot. You know, every plane has an autopilot in it.
Hmm.
And, unfortunately, there's a secret device in every plane. And in the auto box, it's called an auto return. So every plane can be, since, according to Phil McConnell, every plane since 2008 has this autopilot in it, and it can be automatically controlled and taken anywhere in the world, up, down, left, right.
And with back. A joystick, auto abort. Oh my god!
The pilot has no control. It's just absolutely remotely controlled. That's why I'm to MH 70. It was taken to Diego Garcia, and the people on the plane were gassed. The plane sat there for 8 months. The plane was redecorated, and they put on an MH17, flown the plane to Holland. The plane landed Holland. People at Holland waiting to board the plane, MH17. As they sat there, looked in, waiting for their plane. The plane was cancelled. The plane was secretly flown off from Amsterdam over Russia, or was it Russia? It was Ukraine, where they blew it up. The plane all come down in pieces. The first people on the scene with the local residents, and all they said, the bodies were just corpse. It was the same plane, MH-70.
Yeah, it was really weird that it had the same sort of beginning call sign and all that stuff. Like, that's really kind of easy to put another plate on, just like the Olympia. So this one was full of, the blood in these bodies was like, they'd been into a freezer. Yeah. It was just like rigor mortis. So they were literally all stiffs. And so as, they basically, threw it like a paper dart and shot at it.
Yeah. But they've been doing this, 14 planes down since the one from Brazil went over from Brazil Air France. You remember that one? Went missing. Can't find it.
The ones with the doctors on it.
The one with the doctors on it. The one MH17 had a lot of scientists on it. And they had patents on new science. That's and the Rothschilds don't want this new science to come out. And that's why it was taken down. And also, it was a warning to Malaysia. Don't mess about with us. And the Prime Minister of Malaysia was paid £870 million to say nothing. He took a bribe.
870, huh?
£870 million.
Interesting. So, are you skinning up there, Mona?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Skinning up. Yeah, no one.
What's that mean? Am I rolling one?
Yeah, you can hear it very clearly.
What you're weeding.
She's weeding the garden.
Well, it's dark out here, so it'd be kind of difficult.
She's mowing the grass.
Yeah, no, the guys do it for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
anyway, yeah, I missed my last go out.
Mm.
Go ahead.
So that's what your body and elemental's wanting right now. Weed. You know, your body elemental is a bit like Homer Simpson. It's got that, you know, that's, if you want to look at it like that, it's our inner Homer. You know, when you give it fish fingers, you know, it's like, oh, feels happy.
JP.
What's that, Joy?
You know, they put these things up beforehand. If the Illuminati put things up, it's you can see it before.
Oh yeah, predictive programming.
Simpsons is one typical program. Right? What was her name? The comedian, the woman comedian died.
Joan Rivers.
She was in the program 6 months before she died. And she was in the program where, she was in the chair going to, a dentist or something like that, and she died in the chair. And apparently, she only went for a checkup.
Yeah, and this guy comes in.
She died in the chair because she said about Obama and Obama's wife being a man.
Well, this is what, I mean, Sean and I have been kind of semi-joking about this
for the last 4 years. Yeah, I always get it, Jacob.
Yeah, it's like... but you know, that's what Joan Rivers actually said. The first thing she said. Oh no, no.
She said it to a reporter.
Yeah, yeah. Get this, because the reporter said, "Do you ever think we'll have a gay president?" And he said,
"Oh my God, you got one, man."
Yeah, you already got one. And his wife is a man.
We all know he's a Jan Sixer.
Oh, Daniela, I can't take your
2 weeks later, she's dead.
Yeah.
When the truth kills you, right?
So, yeah.
George Carlin, exactly the same thing.
Exactly. So.
They let him go a little extra longer, though. What happened with Robin Williams and other ones, you know? We can't even make a joke out of life anymore, even though it's all true.
Well, comedians speak the truth through, obviously through comedy, and it hits the note.
Yes. In fact.
It always hits the note.
Yes. Perfect. Well, look, we're running out of time, Ray. Thank you for calling in, and thank you, Mona, for calling in and joining me on this journey. Journey without our guest. I'm sure I'll get James back. He'll try not. And thank you very much, everybody. And we'll be joining Ms. Muggsy in a little while. So, good night, everybody, on Revolution Radio. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheering. Cheering. Yay.